deal with a very complex topic of migration.
We are people with international history who come together to gain empowerment throughout doing community radio.
This is 92.6 Radio Helsinki.
Dear listeners, we are back in the studio again.
Welcome to the Radio Revolt show. My name is Fatih, and today I will be talking to you about Tribuna events. It is an academic and cultural initiative organized by the Iberoamerica Institute and the different departments of University of Graz. The Tribuna events consists of a series of academic and cultural programs on Caribbean and Latin American countries. Over the course of 2 days, the academic session addressed the region's social, political, and economic challenges, especially the cultural elements brought to additional vibrancy to the program. In this episode, you will hear my interview with Professor Fabio Santos, where we discuss current social and economic challenges facing the region, as well as his research on the history of migration in Puerto Rico. In the second part, I speak with Christine, who is one of the event organizers. She shares insights about Tribuna 2025 and what we can expect from future events. Finally, you will hear my interview with Leonel, who was a very funny dance teacher, along with some of the participants who joined his lovely and fabulous salsa class. First of all, thank you very much indeed for accepting our interview offer.
Thank you so much for having me.
For those who are not familiar with the exact ties between Austria and Caribbean countries, could you explain how these cultural, social, and economic relations have evolved until present time?
This is a very important but also very big question. I think if we talk about the connections, the entanglements between Europe and the Americas, specifically the Caribbean, we have to start with the history of colonialism and slavery, which is when the regions were connected for the first time. So the so-called, people often think of the so-called discovery of the Caribbean by Christopher Columbus in 1492. But what that discovery meant was that in the years and centuries that followed, millions of enslaved people from Africa were brought to the Caribbean and the Americas more generally, to forcibly work on plantations, to bring goods that are so famously Caribbean that we also think of in stereotypes when we think about the Caribbean, right? Like sugar or rum or coffee. Like all of these goods were transported from the Caribbean to Europe, but they were actually grown on plantations by enslaved Africans. So I think this is, if we want to think about the beginnings of these connections between the regions, that's where we have to start. And this is a story that went on for centuries, and it is still today that many Caribbean islands are built on monocultures. So they really focus on specific agricultural products that they export until this day. So if you ask about how until today we are sort of connected, that would be one sort of economic connection we have. But I also think of the political connections between several European countries and the Caribbean, not of Austria, but certainly of France or the United Kingdom, also the Netherlands, which until this day have overseas territories, some would also call them colonies in the Caribbean, that are, some of them are also fully integrated part of the European Union, like Martinique and Guadeloupe in the Caribbean, two islands that are overseas territories of France and part of the European Union, where you pay with euro. They have their representatives in the French and European parliaments. So I think this is really, if you really want to make clear the present connections between the Caribbean and Europe, just look at the political status.
Yeah, okay. That was my next question. Yeah. When we think of the history of the colonizations, we understand the relations between the Caribbean and Europe transcending the many disciplines and it has many dimensions to be researched. But let's get back to the current political environment. So what are the main regional issues needs to be addressed? What are the main the problems or issues located specifically in the Caribbean regions?
Yeah. Well, I think, there are so many themes that can be or should be researched in the Caribbean, but just off the top of my head, I would think of what we already addressed, right? The political situation and the ongoing dependence of many, many territories in the Caribbean. So that's one block.
Are you talking about the economic dependence on European and American powers?
I'm thinking of both. I mean, I'm thinking, and I mentioned for the example of Haiti in my talk. Mm-hmm. So Haiti actually being formally an independent state, right? So people would ask, why do you say it's like there's still independence going on? It's independent. It's not like Martinique for part of France, right? But as I also mentioned in the talk that I gave today, there was this sort of indemnity set up where Haiti, over more than a century, had to pay for achieving its independence and for its international recognition to its former colonizer, France. So that set into place an entire structural impoverishment. So how can you build up a nation? How can you succeed economically if you have to pay back so much of your national income to the former colonizer? So these are economic, there are economic aspects to it. But if I speak or if I think of the overseas territories, and they have different names, but let's just call them overseas territories for now. There, it's not only economic dependency, but also political dependency, where oftentimes local governments and the general population struggle to actually make decisions that are relevant to them. And oftentimes decisions are made in Paris or, yeah.
It's quite interesting, Professor Fabius, because I was thinking that it has been almost 50 years has passed after decolonization periods in Caribbean islands, but we still talk about the interdependence, to Europe and America. Those countries are not able to make independent decisions, and their decision-making process still predominantly depends on the foreign countries. So it is quite interesting, beautiful.
Yes, and today in the 21st century, the remaining colonies or the remaining overseas territories, of course, they think about like, should we become independent? They weigh up the pros and cons. It's very difficult to predict what a future would look like a future of independence, which is why there are also large fractions in places like French Guiana and Puerto Rico that are like, wait a moment, maybe it makes sense to sort of keep the status quo. Then there are radical voices that really push for formal decolonization, you know, reaching its own nation state. You have many different sectors, so you would have to look at each case individually, but definitely people look around in the Caribbean and, you know, compare their relatively, at least economically, well-off status to independent nation states that became independent and are economically not so well-off. So that is taken into account by these overseas territories as well.
The professor, I was thinking to asking to you about multilateralism versus unilateralism. So I was thinking to ask you, okay, maybe Professor, maybe it might be interesting to you. Do you think the multilateralism can solve the problem of the economic dependence? And then I just, what I learned from the colonization history, the United Nations, the international governors are somehow part of the colonization history. They think of the Security Council members. How can we expect people to, those decision makers to support economic dependence? Independence from the Western power. What do you think on this?
Well, it's not what I researched, but yeah, I can still share my reflections on that. I am quite skeptical about the power of multilateralism here, even though there is a UN Special Committee on Decolonization that also lists each year the territories that it still regards as colonial. But actually, many of the territories we spoke of in the Caribbean, they are not listed there because the reasoning is, or the thinking is, well, they at some year, you know, some years ago or decades ago, they voted to stay within the colonial power, right? With their colonial power, so they can't be counted as colonial anymore, which is a flawed understanding because, you know, some of the referenda were also contested. Also, that specific committee on decolonization doesn't have much power within the United States because, as you mentioned, also the permanent states, the permanent representing powers in the UN have no interest in decolonization, and that includes the United States, which still has colonies in the Caribbean. It also includes France and the UK. So you already have three powers that have no interest in changing the existing system. So I'm sorry to say that I'm pretty pessimistic if it comes to global change within multilateralism.
And also some of the regional issues in Caribbean heavily depends on the multilateral actions, such as the climate change. As far as I know, the countries in Caribbean somehow worsely affected by the results of the climate change because of rise of the sea levels. Mm-hmm. So some of the islands are affected by it. So, but still, the professor, we need somehow the multilateralism, which we are a bit critical of.
Yeah, I'm not against multilateralism. I'm just skeptical that this will result in big changes that are beneficial for these Caribbean islands. I would love to see that. I would also love to see that in terms of climate change, which is actually the challenge, one of the major challenges these territories face in the 21st century, rising sea levels, but also the deforestation that took place in the context of the Caribbean, which makes the islands even more vulnerable to floods and hurricanes, for example. To my knowledge, there is no joint agenda. So it's still pretty much according to each nation states or still existing imperial power, how aid is organized in case of such urgencies. So it's more of a, okay, we react to a certain natural catastrophe rather than preventing them from happening in the first place. So this would be the change that is needed.
So we have underlined the global dimension and economic dimension in Caribbean. I would like to get more insights from also the sociological problems in the Caribbean region. Unfortunately, on this part of the world, we are a bit ignorant of the what kind of the social problems going on in Caribbean. Can you please a bit enlighten us about what are the major social challenges people getting through in Caribbean islands?
This is a great question. So the Caribbean is unfortunately one of the world regions, together with Latin America more generally, that has the highest inequality in the world. So you have a few relatively well-off people, but then also extreme poverty. So I think this is something that would need to be tackled across the Caribbean. And much of it is also inherited from colonial structures. So it's not a surprise that oftentimes in societies, you can look at Jamaica, but you can also look at Martinique, so really different histories and present statuses, that it's oftentimes a relatively white or light-skinned elite that has political power, financial resources, whereas the lowest sectors of society is often composed of the descendants of formerly enslaved people. They are darker skinned, black. So this is, I think, something these societies have to come to terms with, but also the ones that set up this system of stratification, that they would also have to come up with solutions, which is why also the, you know, there are increasingly loud calls for reparations for slavery, which could then counter internal inequalities that exist in some of these places. So I think if you ask about the most pressing sociological issues, it would be inequality and racism, and the two go together because racism informs inequality in the Caribbean.
I found a bit sorry. Maybe I have naive expectation that in 2025 there should be no inequality in line with the racial discrimination. So, yeah, but it is quite sad to learn that still the statistical racism and inequality are major problems in the Caribbean region, and still the history of the day could decolonize active in the region. Now, I would like to come to the book project you are preparing. So, the book project, The Haitian Asylum Seeker in Puerto Rico. Oh, you are mentioning practice and contestation of migrant detention in U.S. military base in Puerto Rico. We see the digitalization and externalization of the U.S. borders. So in the light of your project, I would like to get to you about the European politics. So the U.S. current border is somehow extended and then it became a question by the refugee camps in Lesbos and then the Canary Islands. So how do you, from your experience, your profession in the Caribbean Islands, how do you evaluate the current U.S. border regime?
Yeah, thank you. This is a great question that already connects the dots between the European border regime and the U.S. has been doing for a few decades now in the Caribbean. So what I do in my book is, or in the book project, still in the early phases, is that I want to understand how this system, which is now really a system, it's not random anymore, how this system of offshoring migrants, offshoring asylum seekers to islands or to other shores, you know, making them invisible and kind of jailing them in these remote places, how that became an increasingly popular practice among Western governments. And I think one of the places where this entire development started is the Caribbean, and it is Puerto Rico, more specifically Fort Allen, which is a military installation in the south of Puerto Rico. And in the late 70s, early 1980s, it was used as a detention facility to house or to accommodate up to 1,000 Haitian refugees. At the time, there was what was called a huge Haitian refugee crisis. Cubans actually were also part of it. Those that were framed as a problem were really the Haitians that were coming at the time. And so under the democratic government, Carter evolved the idea of, hey, we have this military post in Puerto Rico, why don't we send some of them at least to this military camp, you know, building tents, like an entire tent village or city there. So it was all set in place. Then there were some legal struggles. They had to give up the plan for the time being, but it was later revived a few years later by the Republican president, Ronald Reagan. And I want to look at the sort of, the experiences of Haitians, also the local reactions in Puerto Rico that were not against the Haitians, but they were against the imposing of these structures on their island. There was also a huge independent movement going on at the time. And though it was only short-lived, this detention center in Puerto Rico that I analyzed was only open for 1.5 years, but I still argue that it was a laboratory, it was an experiment in these offshoring practices that we saw just a few years later in the Caribbean, in Guantanamo, which served as a place where refugees were sent. But it also resonates with practices off the coast of Australia today. It resonates with plans to, you know, outsource what is regarded as a refugee problem to third countries from the European Union, and so on and so on. So I do want to make connections to other parts of the world, but my focus in that book really is Puerto Rico and the Caribbean.
Mind you, just talk about the history or the evolution of the refugee camps in Puerto Rico. So there are so much similarities we just observe in the daily media informations, that somehow the same structure, maybe without the huge military occupation, the same things going on also in Lesbos Island and in Canary Islands.
Yes, I think that's a good point. Also, if you look at pictures, like I went to archives to look for visual material of the camp, for example, and it's striking just how similar this is, like, you know, 40 years ago, comparing it to what we see today in the places you mentioned, like Lesbos, for example. It's a place where people don't have much space for movement, where they really have very few resources, if any at all, where really one can think of whether just the slightest form of human dignity is safeguarded. So there is definitely, I would say, a continuation of what I'm researching and then what I observe today.
Professor Fabius, thank you very much indeed enlightening us with your research project and your contribution today to the Tribuna events, and it was also really great to have some answers to my own questions about the colonization and the insights about the Caribbean islands.
Thank you so much for the interview and for giving me the chance to share some of my reflections. Thank you.
Very much indeed for accepting the interview. Can you please tell us about the 2025 Tribuna events? I know in advance that this is not the first time you're organizing in Grass, right?
Yeah, thank you first for coming. We are always so happy to have you here from Radio Helsinki. It's the third Tribuna you are coming to, I think, some of your colleagues at least. And yeah, indeed, it's the sixth Tribuna in Graz. For myself, it's the fifth. I was happy to, my first Tribuna I participated actually as an interpreter in 2022, and then in that same year I took over in the organization as well, and since then I'm part of the main organizers. And what can I tell you about Tribuna 2025?
Maybe we can start with the general information, that which countries are involved. I believe that it's not only Caribbean countries, but there's more countries involved, right?
Well, the main focus, like the main goal we have with Tribuna, is building a bridge between Styria, Austria, Europe and the Latin American continent. So yeah, there's Austria involved, of course, and the Caribbean states, but also like the states that have a Caribbean coast. So like, for example, Venezuela, Colombia, Honduras, all those Spanish-speaking countries of Latin America that touch the Caribbean, let's say. And yes, we also always at Tribuna have our intercultural market, and there's also some other countries sometimes. There were some Austrian people also, but also always with a connection to Ibero-America, so to Spain, Portugal and Latin America. And yes, this year the main focus was the Caribbean. We had many different kinds of participations, of offers on our program that reflect well also the diversity of this region, the plurilingualistic nature of this region. And we are so happy that so many people participated actively and also came as participants to take part in the workshops. Right now I'm looking down at this room full of people dancing salsa, learning how to dance salsa, and it's very nice to see.
Is there any specific tema you are dealing with this year?
Specific tema in what sense?
For instance, the climate change, or is there any focus this year, or you just basically, I know that there are academic art and social events. It's not only academically focused events, but is there any specific tema you are going through, or you are just basically representing or building bridges to different cultures? You are dealing with the general themas.
Yes, very good question, and well mentioned. It's right. I just mentioned salsa, but actually a big part of Tribuna is our conference that takes place every year, an international conference. This year we were so happy to have speakers from all over the world, actually, from Cuba, Copenhagen, Augsburg, Spanish university professor that lives in Augsburg. And so we cover a broad range of topics, actually. So our focus is the Caribbean in the broadest sense. And so we also, since we have these different focuses, we have the conference and the cultural parts, and we had some other presentations that the students prepared. So we actually span a broad range of topics that are covered. It's not just one main focus, but we always have a first keynote speech about the history and the connections, so as to get the people, to give them context and better understand the rest of the presentations. And then we cover topics from linguistics, arts, what else, music, social, political things. So there were many different topics, and also the students of the bachelor's degree in transcultural interpretation communication, they prepared some presentations about the Caribbean islands, and they focused on critical topics. There was like this realistic optimism, so like presenting topics that are actually not so good, like such as climate change and other poverty, other topics, but also with a positive outlook, maybe. So that was also very nice.
Yesterday morning I had an interview with the Professor Fabius, and then he expressed that there is still the effects of the colonization visible in the Caribbean and Latin American countries. Do you think that we can raise awareness about the ongoing inequality, the effects of the colonization in these countries? Do you think the Tribuna events can help us to raise awareness on these issues?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's our dream. Like, that's exactly why we are doing what we are doing, because we really want to, we think, like, in this world, we need to get to know each other and understand each other better in order to build these bridges, to appreciate each other, to respect each other. Like, this human, someone in the opening ceremony said this very beautifully, like, this human aspect is finally comes down to this, and for us that's also like the main thing. So yes, I very much hope that we achieve this goal, and I think our approach is not so bad, because we reach many different groups of people. We have all the students at the university, because we are doing this in cooperation with three university institutes, Department for Translation Studies, Department for Romance Language Studies, and the Center for Inter-American Studies. So many students, many people who work at the university in academia. We always contact all the schools in Styria, and many school classes come. And all the people, we, the Ibero-America Institute, we have a lot of Spanish courses, Portuguese courses, salsa courses, also German courses for Spanish-speaking people. So we reach also a broad public. And I think this is the best, to reunite all these kinds of people, all the Spanish-speaking people living in Graz, people from Caribbean countries living in Graz. And this is what makes up Tribune, like all these people coming together just to celebrate, but also in this period, also like attending the conferences, learning, and yeah, like I very much hope to.
I'm also very curious that are you planning to make Tribune events outside of the Graz, outside of Austria, maybe different parts of Europe? As yesterday we had talk, I have talked with you, and we mentioned that there's a strong ignorance about what's going on in Caribbean, what are the main problems of Caribbean regions and Caribbean people and Latin America as well. So are you planning to make these events outside of the Graz, or maybe make the event in one of the Caribbean or Latin American countries?
That's such a nice question. It's the first time actually this thought enters my mind. Right now we are in Graz also. Like we are two people who actually organize this. Then we have a like core team of six there, but and many fantastic volunteers. Like I can't even mention all of them, but still like mainly we are two working on this. So for now, I think it's already a challenge. We have grown a lot over the last year. It's so nice to see how many people appreciate what we are doing and come to celebrate. But for now, I think we are going to stay in Graz. But who knows? Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be nice in the future maybe to do a Tribune tour.
It will be really, really lovely. So, and my last question is, what kind of the reactions you are receiving from the participants? I know I met some of the participants, not only, so some of the participants are students, some of them outside of the university areas, and many adults joining the events. What are your main reactions from the participants?
I got many smiles and many people. I think people in general are very content with like what they are seeing and hearing and being able to do. I got some nice feedback from obviously from people who know me, but also from people I don't even know. I mean, that's also so nice. I think, yeah, many smiling faces, many people having a good time. And also it's nice to see, because now since it is the sixth time we're doing this and we are growing, like each year there's more people who already know what it is, how it works, who also invite their friends. And that's like the best that can happen to us. Like that shows that they appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Also, the conference is always interpreted in many languages by the master's students. That's a very dear aspect of this for me, because I'm also an interpreter. And I that's how I entered Tribune. And there also, I see those people now know how it works, and the professors all the university lecturers, they already want to participate. Maybe even they ask me if there's going to be another Tribune. And yeah, it's just very nice to see how it's forming really a collective something.
Yes, I totally agree with you, because before coming to this event, actually, to be honest, I didn't know anything about the Caribbean countries, Caribbean peoples. And also I was really surprised by the by ongoing problems such as inequality, racism. So in 2025, you don't expect these problems still going on in any parts of the world. But thank you very much indeed for organizing this event, and I hope we will make again an interview in Tribune 2026 if it is already scheduled on your calendar.
Yeah, thank you so much. Tribuna 2026. I really hope you will be back. There is not a date fixed yet. That's the first thing we do once the current Tribuna is over. We will find the date. We will contact you and we are very happy to have you back. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We wish you best of luck in your project. Thank you.
Thank you. Muchas gracias.
Yeah. Thank you very much indeed for accepting our interview. Can you please introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. My name is Leonel Monzon. I am from Guatemala, but I am living here in Graz for 40 years, and I am working here with dance.
In Tribuna events, you are teaching dances. What kind of the dance did you teach to people in Tribuna?
Well, in Tribuna event is an event from Ibero-America Institute in Graz. And I am teacher in this, also, well, instructor. I am instructor in association, and I am teaching salsa, bachata, and other kinds of movements like merengue, for example, or the today in bomba, for example, from Puerto Rico. And that is the most that I make with this institute. And well, I try to make it because it's a Spanish association. Every hour, but I try to speak Spanish with the people too, because some of the people are learning Spanish and they want to learn the dance, and I make two together.
Okay. In Tribuna events, most of the people are young, or how would you say the age groups
age. Today and yesterday was very interesting because it was a young and old people. This is a mishung, okay? It's a mishung, and I find this very good because it is a synergy between old people and the young people. And the young people are very, very nice because they don't have problem with other people to dance. No? And the older people, the same. They dance too, and you can see there is no age for dancing. No?
So the people are mostly from the Austria, or is there any group or people coming from the outside of the Austria for Tribuna dancing event?
Well, I think it is only from Austria. Mm-hmm. There are people from other lands, but I think they are living here in Graz or here in Styria. Mm-hmm. But I think the most are from Austria, okay. From Graz, I think.
Would you recommend any other future participants to come and visit the Tribuna events?
Well, for us, for Tribuna, it is the most important. No? But we are making with my wife together once a month, only on Thursday, a dance event, one month. No? And this is always Thursday. Over Thursdays.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for accepting the interview.
Okay, thank you very much, and I wish you everything good.
Please tell us about your experience in dancing salsa.
Yeah, I love dancing salsa. I already know Lionel here, and I've already took courses with him, and I think it's so much fun. And also, I think it's good for beginners too, like, because everyone can learn it. Yeah.
This is your first time in Tribuna event?
No, it's my third time here.
Do you usually join the Tribuna event?
Yeah, because I study at this university, so okay. I go here and I speak Spanish.
What events did you join this yesterday?
The tequila tasting I did, and also the bachata. Yeah, and in the evening I went to the band, and I also saw all the presentations before about history.
Would you recommend any other people who might be interested in the Latin America, Caribbean, come to here?
Yeah, definitely. It's so cool. Like, there's, I don't know, the vibe is so good here, the dancing, the music, I love it. And there's also so much information, and I feel like it's important that also people who don't know so much about the culture.
Did you like the Tribuna 2025 this year?
So I've been here for 2 days. I didn't get here at the first day, so it's the third and last day for me, unfortunately. Yeah, because it was very nice. I did 2 dance classes, which were very nice, so I in fact did learn something, so, and with all the professionals around, so it's quite nice to watch it.
It's also so weird, you were dancing salsa, so how was your salsa experience?
Salsa is a very nice dance. I think I would suggest everyone to get a course and do it. It's a very unique style of dancing, so go for it. I really enjoyed it here, and I think the level was quite high as well. So for beginners, yesterday we did some like basics, and today there was even like a huge step, and I think it was already decent level.
Where are you from, by the way? You are from the Latin America or the Caribbean region?
No, I'm from Austria.
You are from Austria. Would you recommend other people to join the Tribuna event?
Yeah, of course. Like, get here, all of you. Change cultural experience. I think there's a lot we can learn from each other. So get here, and it's a very nice place to be.
All right. That brings us to the end of today's episode of Radio Revolt. I hope you enjoyed exploring the Tribuna events with us. From talks provoking academic discussions to the energy and rhythms of Latin dance. A big thank you to our guest, Professor Fabio Santos, for sharing his expertise, and Christine for giving us a glimpse into the future of Tribuna, and Lionel and many of his salsa participant students for bringing the spirits of Caribbean islands to our European continent. If you like what you heard, you can follow up Tribuna events in the next year. Again, thank you very much for tuning in. I am Fatih, and I will be back soon with another episode. Until then, stay curious, stay connected, and take care of each other. Bye-bye.